What do you want for dinner?
I don't care. You pick.
Lasagna?
No.
Curry?
No.
Tacos?
No.
Burgers?
No.
How about fish?
No.
Chicken? Ham?
Uh-uh.
Bacon?
No.
You said you wanted me to pick.
Yeah, but you haven't picked the right one yet.
We got five Chiefs, no Indians, but this chemistry that we have produces so many great songs. You know what I mean? I don't know what the fuck it is, but we have a great time with the music, which overshadows that we think each other are a bunch of clowns. So occasionally we do make some good business decisions, but it's a hard road to hoe, you know? But I love the guys, you know, and I'm not saying anything bad about them. It's just it's a hard gig.
It's like, dude, it's like family.
Yeah. It's five fucking drunk Irish brothers that not one will fucking give up in like, if you're doing slap biting or wrestling in the room, I'm not giving up unless I can't breathe and I'm knocked out, you know?
You are listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, uniting the country in the most seditious manner. Did I use that right? Seditious? Ah, fuck it. Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am joined, as always, with the seditious Elsie out in Denver, Colorado. How are you this Sunday morning, Elsie?
Oh, I am excellent. Thank you for asking. And yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I learned a new word this week. So
yeah, we'll get into that here in a little bit, I think.
Sure.
We had a fun conversation I think the listener will enjoy, so yeah.
Absolutely.
You and me both.
Yes. We'll take you on the journey.
How are things in the household there? We're starting to settle in pretty well into the new year. 2021
sure.
is over a week old as we speak here.
No, things are great. You know, what I always like about the new year is you look at your credit card statement and you say, yeah, I really, really gave my kids a good Christmas. What do you think?
I think that's great, by the way. The thing that's most on top of my mind lately is with these stimulus checks going out. I want to know what piece of overpriced Kiss merchandise Jewel Polo bought with it.
Oh, that is true.
Maybe he got a new turntable go bag or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if this happened to you, but like it came super fast this time.
Yeah, it did. It was. It seemed like they got the system down. It was. It was in our bank account pretty quick. So
yeah, last time I had like a prepaid debit card for no apparent reason, and then this time it was just like, oh, all right, here's an extra paycheck this week. And that's basically what it was.
I just paid for a lifetime membership to OnlyFans. So.
Ooh. Again, I don't know. Is that a catfishing website? I don't know what that is. So.
Of course you don't. Yeah, of course. I think when you say stuff like that, I can only assume your wife actually secretly listens to the podcast and you're just covering your tracks.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Hey, what you know, got? Speaking of wives, man, I got a question for you. You're a married man, and plenty of our listeners are too. As much as our audience is a giant sausage fest, they typically use our show to get away from the wife is all I'm getting at.
Yes.
Why, like, and this is not just my lovely wife Amy. This is basically any woman I've spent any amount of time in a vehicle with.
So this is a generalization.
Yeah. So how is it? Yeah, this is definitely a blanket statement about all women. How come? Yeah. And I will say this, excluding the elderly. How is it they can't get out of the car in under 3 to 5 minutes? You know what I mean? It's like, especially when you're not driving, it's like we pull into Target. Like once you're in the parking lot, you only have one job, and that is to be ready to exit the vehicle. How come I can park, you know, get the car shut off and everything and be out in basically in front of Target and they haven't even opened the fucking door? I assume you've ran into this because it's across the board.
I just need to understand this a little bit, but because you told me that you were going to talk about this. So I think I have different levels maybe, but I know what you're saying in general. Like
I might be exaggerating a little bit. I've been known to do that.
Okay. That's fine. So have I, but But I'm just saying, like, so let me guess that part of the irritant is you say, like, we are going to this location. And then obviously you are coming into the parking lot and you know that you're going there. And then the car stops and then the radio turns off. And these are all these, like, I guess, things saying triggers, if you may, saying we are about to leave the vehicle.
And walk towards the door. Yeah. And now this is there's a big people are like, what's the big deal? Why do you care? There is a life happiness, a personal joy that's being stolen here that I think. Like, there is a serious consequence to this. To me, there is no value-added time sitting in a car in a parking lot. That is basically, we're only here once, baby. Do we really want to spend as much time of that sitting in Target's parking lot? We're there for a task. It is not like, you know, oh, man, I just want to bask in the moment.
I hear what you're saying. And there is no value added sitting in a parking lot unless you're listening to our show. But if you once an engine is turned off, you're saying that there is then a pause of doing what? I don't understand what that
exactly
is.
Exactly. What are you fucking doing besides putting your hand in the door handle, opening up? Your seatbelt should already fucking off before the driver's.
Is it on the phone?
I have no idea. Sometimes, for the most, but this goes before phones were, I mean. We went to Texas in 2013 for my sister's wedding, and that was before, like, sitting on your phone was as common as it is now anyway, right? And
sure.
We got a rental car, and it had this lovely feature that I enjoyed. Basically, you know, and then here's the other thing, too. I want to lock the fucking car while I'm still close enough to do it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, so get out and shut the door so I can fucking lock it. But so this had a nice feature. I really wish I had it now, although I'd probably be divorced because it drove Amy batshit the week we were in Texas. Every time it went ding, and it's saying that that someone's trying to lock the doors. Shut your door.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. So it was like a little. So and every time I did that, I would go, "That's your warning." And I don't know, after about, I don't know, one day, she was like, would you shut the fuck up? It's like, well, get out of the car. Shut the door.
That is a great feature. I would think now you just have an extra thing where you just, you know, add a get the fuck out of the car or something like that
get out.
But I mean, I'm just
right now, divorce attorneys are like, I got a great idea.
<That's right.
laughs> Get GM on the phone. I got a product to pitch.
And but I'm thinking, like, what is that? Is there stretching involved? I'm not sure what's going on in the other seat after.
It's almost like they were asleep and like, oh, we're here. Oh. Hold on, gotta shake off the cobwebs. You mind running in to get me a cup of coffee?
No. When the car stops, it's time to get out and let's get.
What else do you have to do? Again, the older you get, a little slower you move. You know, we're all feeling the effects of that. So I'm not
sure.
I'm not losing my shit when grandma's having a harder time getting out of the old Bacruiser. Take your time. You know, but. My fully functioning children and wife should be able to exit, you know. And typically, the boys are out of the fucking car. They don't want to sit there anymore. The girls are the ones that are just meandering.
I don't get what it is.
Fibbaging through their bags of girl stuff.
Yes, hit us up and ask if this is a recurring problem on your end. I think I have somewhat of this, but I don't think there's the delay of game as much.
Well, there might be like this light bulb effect that's going on. Like, I may have just exposed men around the world to this thing that they've basically been oblivious to. You know what I mean?
And now they're gonna be super pissed if there's any pause.
There was a guy I used to work with. He watched a lot of reality television. And I had a conversation with him where I kind of broke down. You ever notice that they're all the same? That, like, basically at the beginning, like, every segment starts with telling you what's going to happen and then ends with what is coming up. And then when it comes back, it recaps what just happened and again tells you what's going to come up. And it does it every – and then every commercial break, they show a lot of the shots of the building, you know, from the outside.
Yep.
And, like, about 2 days later, he came back and said, I ruined – some of his favorite shows for him. He's like, I didn't realize there's almost like only 2 minutes of actual content.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm hoping to have that same effect here. Maybe I've now ruined parking lots for loose cannon there.
I know, I'm on point. I got the timer. As soon as I turn off the engine right now. Done. Public service announcement as usual. You know, before we started this podcast, I got to tell you, there's a lot of different people out there. Michael Sweet, Ron Keel, you know, different people you've interviewed, and just people in general in the music industry that I really didn't know much about. Also didn't really know their names. Like if you had asked me right on the street, name all five members of Rat at one point, even though I enjoyed Rat, they just weren't a personality band for me.
Okay.
And if you ask, like, who's their drummer, I don't know if I would say, oh, their drummer is Bobby Blotzer, because they were just basically a Stephen Piercy, had the albums, but never really jumped into them like you do your Motley Crue's or anything like that. It just wasn't my thing, man.
That's a little surprising just because, because we never talked about it. I get it, I guess, but... I knew all of them.
You're a much bigger fan in that area. And my point is that, my God, I wish I'd known about this guy a long time ago, because he is a wealth of entertainment, and I would say he is definitely at least in the top 10 of, we don't talk about him as much, but would you say he's one of the mascots of Cobras and Fire?
We're talking about Blotzer?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, look, he had that whole fake rat thing, and he did that that nice little speech at Grand Rock Timber that I know he shared on the Facebook page.
Right.
He's been a wealth of show material. Now, he has been quiet for a while, basically, since they kicked him out of the band. He's been persona non grata.
Right. That's what I'm saying, is that he's been, you know, he's laid low.
Maybe Chris Aiken can line up an interview with him for us.
That's true. Yeah, probably a doubleheader with, Dokken?
No. Every other. You get Don and Blotz on.
Dokken is their Ron Keel, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Or Michael Sweet. One of the two. But anyway, so you alerted me of a new video interview with another podcast out of Canada.
Yeah, one of our Canadian friends. And we use the word friend in the American term, not the Canadian version. So.
I don't even know what that means, exactly.
I don't know. We're definitely harsher, so we'll...
okay. Just another podcaster.
There we go. Yeah, any followers of our show probably already know who we're talking about.
A respected rock journalist.
A respected rock journalist. Just doing his job, people.
Just doing his job.
So it was weird too how it came across. There's this Midwest concert group that I'm part of on Facebook, and the admin shared it. And the thing is, it was the screen cap that drew me in, because I don't know if you've seen the video, so I assume you saw like the freeze frame panel where it's just Bobby off in the corner with a giant TV with football on behind him. And it was actually a fairly sharp picture. I think he was shooting with his iPhone, we find out, in the course of the interview. But that's funny for a reason we'll get into. There's nothing wrong with that. I wasn't saying anything there. But I got to see what he's up to. And it was a good hurt, man. I enjoyed I was fixated for a good 51 minutes or however long it is. As much as the interview was as quality as ever.
Hard-hitting.
I really enjoyed full on Bobby, I guess, is the best way to put it. How would you describe the fucking setup, man?
it was definitely full frontal Bobby. The thing I really liked about it is that the interview was very authentic. Like you could tell that there was absolutely no prep ahead of time, right?
Just a couple of bros catching up, man.
Yeah, it was like totally organic.
It did not look like someone had staged their house to put on the market.
I did think halfway through I was going to see ads for Airbnb or Zillow.
Now, a couple takeaways if anybody's going to watch this. First of all, get some alcohol in front of you, unless it's not your thing. That's okay. But if you want to have a drinking game, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Drink every time he mentions iPhone, every time he mentions fiance or girlfriend or her kids or his kids,
sure.
And then every time he mentions a famous neighbor. So,
oh, yes. So. That's you are on the floor within 5 minutes.
Pretty quick, anyway.
But every time
the host or the interviewee makes your eyes roll, take two shots.
Yeah. Okay. we're definitely do not do this. But part of what I'm just going to give you a couple observations because you have a more in-depth analysis of it, I believe.
Yeah, okay.
Do you mind what I just saw right in the beginning?
Let's hear it.
Okay. So it starts off with do you call him the Blots? Is that his nickname? His best?
Yeah, that's what me and his friends call him.
You
probably want to call him Bob.
Well, first off, he wants to put his personality in the camera. He wants to show you a little bit of that Blots swing that he brings to Rat.
Blots swing, I got that.
Yes, yeah, and but it starts off with not just the TV in the corner, but I'm not sure if you've ever seen these kind of like joke things at Spencer Gifts, but he basically has one of those wine glasses that says "Mom's glass of wine" or something like that.
Oh my God!
It's
yes,
a monster cup, like this biggest pour of wine. So you're starting off with this man that he's showing. This is not just the drummer from Rat, but this is a classy, successful man with a way too fucking big glass of wine.
What flavor of Mad Dog is in that glass is what I want to know.
That's right. That was Ripple in there, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, that is, and he's wearing sunglasses in the house.
That's right.
He's watching TV, watching football with the sunglasses on and his 4 gallon size glass of wine. He's just kind of holding it up there by the camera. Like, oh, hey, Mitch. Oh, sorry.
Oh, you're calling. I was just hanging out with my blue blockers and a gallon of wine and got everything fired up in the basement just waiting for your call for this organic conversation we're going to have.
Oh, that noise that you barely hear, that's my gardener. My gardener's walking around. Yeah, I'm probably going to have to move. Oh, that's also drink every time he mentions his fucking gardener. By the way, I'm going to give our friend in Canada, I liked the joke where he's like, is the gardener's name Juan?
Yes.
I thought that was a very well done. I like that cheap shot. And even Bobby went with it one time. He's like, opens the door. He's like, hey, Juan. Just kidding.
The gardener was, I don't know if you noticed, he was kind of going like this a lot, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he did the Juanacopter a couple times with the leaf blower.
Yeah. He's going back and forth.
Swinging the leaf blower around his neck.
Very energetic gardener. But just light racism jokes there. It's great.
Yeah, what was the gardener's actual name? Like Rodrigo or something? Yeah, and that's the best part. At one point, Bobby lost track of the joke because dropped in the old Juan line again. And he goes,
right.
Actually, his name is Ricardo or something like that. You know, and like, hey, Ricardo, you're on Red National TV.
See, I didn't. When we prepared for the show, I wasn't aware there was going to be such a spot-on Bobby impersonation. I should have come prepared too. But the thing that is very disturbing too is that when you're the owner of the place that you're doing the interview, you can usually schedule when you have your maintenance help around things you have scheduled in your day. So it was shame.
It just shows you how impromptu this whole thing was.
Yeah, really. Yeah, but I did enjoy the every 5 minutes hearing a leaf blower during the interview too. It's one of those things that adds to the quality of it. But please continue with more observations that you saw from this 50 minutes that you burnt. I made it about 20.
Okay. So. Well, let's set it up a little more for anybody that hasn't watched it. So yeah, this is basically set up as just an interview that was prearranged with and Bobby. So that, but then it quickly shifts where the host goes, you know, we talk all the time. We're always texting each other pictures of, hey, look what I'm working at home and stuff. Wouldn't it be fun if you gave us a tour of Casa del Blots?
Oh, yes.
That's what we're going to kind of break down a little bit as Bobby tours his home.
Yeah, and this is, you know, something you would normally do when the interview is supposed to be about promoting him an appearance with Steel Panther.
Yeah.
During what I should mention before we don't forget it, during this scamdemic.
Yes, Bobby scam-demic. Is a scamdemic guy.
Yes,
he even brings that up in promoting the show. He's like, you know, social distancing, you know, with this scandemic and everything. He playing a couple rat tunes on December 5th with Steel Panther somewhere, and apparently it was a ticketed event. I did like that, so we can jump all over the place. This doesn't really matter, but like, there's a couple old man moments with Bobby, and not really understanding how a live stream concert worked was one of my favorite ones. It's like, I don't know, one of those things where it's like, you know, you can watch it when it's happening.
Live television?
Yeah. Not a whole lot different, but a live stream, that's what they call it.
Yeah.
All right, so after he's done talking about his gardener, or bitching about his gardener, making so much fucking noise that you can barely hear at that point, it sounds like it might be like a furnace in another room for any, you know, the air conditioning's on. I don't know. He name drops Tom, hanging out with Tommy Lee a couple times.
Sure.
T-Bone. And then they set up this huge fake spontaneous tour of his home. And I don't know. One of the things that I liked the best was when he turned a corner and he very conveniently shows a line of guitars that have been like, these have been cleaned and staged and set up in a perfect row on a stand. Pauses the camera long enough and then pulls away, and then the host is like, hey, wait a minute there. Did I see some guitars down there? Are those your guitars? Do you have guitars, Bobby? Are you a musician who does more than hits things with sticks? You know, and so this is like, Bobby's like, oh, yeah. And actually, I wrote down what he says. There's also a bass down there as well. I've done a lot of work with those. And I'm praying there. I'm literally sitting in my living room like, pick one up, Bobby. Pick one up. Show me a couple chords. You are such a... This is such bullshit. It's just like, I write songs too. I am a musician.
Was there any drums?
I didn't see drums anywhere, no.
That's my point.
The neighbors complained. It was a nice house, but it wasn't on its own plantation or anything like that.
Okay.
This I don't know, that was one thing when you go through. This does not look lived in other than like some of the decorations. Like everything, the furniture, it looked like a fucking furniture store. Those guitars look like a display at Guitar Center. The only thing that had any sort of personal touch was an office he went in where he talked about, and where just prior he said, yeah, I don't really display my rat stuff. You know, I don't need that cluttering up my area or something like that. And then you go in here, this room, it's just wall to wall rat.
It looked like that. It looked like when a realtor shows you around and somebody doesn't live there anymore and the house is staged.
Exactly.
Except for that room.
Yeah.
Very odd. But and his
fiance and their kids live there. They liked living there with Bobby. So I have some theories we'll get into at the end and whose house this might be. But
yes,
it is a really fucking cool house. He goes out and shows you the back patio with the swimming pool and the jacuzzi.
And he said
it's a nice 75, 76 degrees that day. It does look nice. You go out to his front yard. He yells at Juan the gardener, who sure has a lot of work for a house that looks pretty fucking spotless. Even the yard looks ready. But he kind of points off into the hill where George Lynch lives and says that's where a bunch of fires burned. So, you know, they had those fires this summer. So apparently he was pretty close to death there. Who was his other famous neighbor? It was George Lynch and...
Steve.
Oh, man. Maybe I'll come across it here. I can't... he blames George... for something. I can't remember. Some sort of weird break or something. But so he goes out and he says...
Can I just say real quick, though, that it is a shame that... does he call George Lynch his boy? Like he's his buddy? Or no?
It doesn't sound like he has a problem with him. No, he just calls him George. It says his name George Lynch, and then from that point on, he refers to him as George. So it sounds like he's friendly with him.
I'm just asking because the fact that he's never drummed in any of his 19,000 side projects, that's not a good sign. If you need a drummer last minute, he's like,
I'm not really into the blot swing. Yeah,
that's right.
Do we gloss over that a little bit too much yet? Because the interviewer fucking really kisses Bobby's ass when it comes to his drumming. It's like, I haven't seen Way Cool Jr. played right in 20 years. And Bobby's like, well, you know, I've actually been in the band during that time, so... Maybe dial it back a little bit there. You know, it was played right when I was in there. But, you need that blood swing. Like, Bobby's a fine drummer. I've never had a problem with him as a drummer. I don't know.
Think it's funny. I don't think I've ever heard a drummer refer to their style as their name and the word swing before.
Maybe Peter Criss.
Peter Criss swing.
But yeah, I love too. He did that whole classic 80s thing where he pretends to be influenced by music that he clearly never listened to.
Sure.
You know, with like Motley Crue, you know, a lot of those guys, it's the blues. But for Bobby, it's Motown. Yeah, that's what he was raised on, was fucking Motown, man.
Big time.
You know, that Motown stuff, you know, that's what I like. So he dropped that up because he's not just some dumb 80s hair metal guy.
No, you know. Every time I hear Wanted Man, I think this is a complete rewrite of Down on the Boardwalk.
Oh, absolutely. Under the Boardwalk?
Right? Down or under it. One of the two.
Under the Boardwalk.
All right. Wanted Man. That's right. Yeah, now you understand why Heard It Through the Grapevine lines up so nicely with Round and Round.
Exactly. Yes. It's the swing. The influence is there, and it's Bobby.
Right. Yeah.
And speaking of that, he clearly, there's more than one occasion, not just with the guitars, but he brings it up about, he's clearly got a chip on his shoulder, and I've heard this in other interviews too, when it comes to like whether he's just some dumb guy who hits things with sticks. He's a musician, man. They all five wrote all the songs, which, as someone who's written songs, I can tell you is exactly how it works. You write everything as a collective, and everybody gets equal credit, and then it only gets stolen from you. We all share publishing, baby. You know, Cobra Kai talked about Rat. They did that Rat commercial, which I hate, but I love the royalty checks. Geico commercial, that Round and Round.
Yeah.
I'm with them too. That commercial sucks.
It's not very good.
But I think it sucks for fairly legitimate reasons. He thinks it sucks because he's not in it. I'm guessing, but
fair enough.
Well, it does come up. Bobby, are you retired? He says, I'm sort of retired. He needed a break, and that's where he blamed George for something like that. I don't know. Maybe George Lynch just makes him tired by just watching. George Lynch probably makes people tired, man.
Oh, sure.
I mean, George Lynch has already quit and started three projects since we started this episode. Yeah,
very active.
But yeah, he goes on.
Do you think George Lynch could even name his bands he's been in?
If I ever get him back on, I'm actually going to do that. If we ever get George Lynch back on, we have to ask him.
In sequence.
In chronological order.
But right now. No wait. Just right now, rattle off the last 10 bands that you have made, you've been part of. Go.
Yeah, we can even limit it to things that had official releases.
Yeah, he's like, well, yeah, the last one obviously was a Filthy...
Hold on, I just quit
Sadie.
One.
Filthy Sadie was last year's.
What about the treehouse he built? And then within two sentences, you find out that he just watched people build it.
I have no idea what you're... I didn't make that cool. No, I bailed.
So there's a long line. It's this long hill right to the side of his house. So it's actually a fairly tight plot of land. It's tucked in, and it's got it. Like, the backyard is basically almost all swimming pool and jacuzzi, from what I could see anyway. And then to the side of the garage, there's like this hill that goes up a good chunk of ways, and he built some steps on there, and it goes up to this kind of, it's in a tree, but it's this kind of professionally built, you know, it's not the most exotic one. I don't know if you've ever seen that show with those people that build just ridiculous tree houses.
Right. Yeah.
So this is a professionally well-built, nice thing, and it overlooks the whole neighborhood, and frankly, you know, I could see myself having a couple glasses of Mad Dog with Bobby and relaxing in the California evening, overlooking George Lynch's house. I don't know, man. I think that what we're getting at here is that, you know, I think Bobby might be basically living with some side action or something like that. That's got the money. You know what I mean? I don't know how well he's done with his money. And this isn't. It would not be unbelievable to think that he had enough money for this house. It's like I said. I liked it. It was a nice house. It was well set up, and it doesn't seem like it would be out of his means, but he also seems like a dumb guy who pissed away a lot of his money. And again, this does look like a model home. I was like watching Arrested Development there for a little bit and expected like him to lean into a wall, and then it just kind of falls
because it's yeah.
Well, yeah, even the kitchen, there's nothing other than a perfectly spotless kitchen. I don't think there was a fucking toaster that I saw. I mean, it's just like, The only glass in the house is a 4-gallon wine glass.
Let me tell you, you want to do conspiracy theories? All I can say is that it doesn't take too long to grab some of those 3M strips to mount a couple of your pictures on the wall without any nails. Put a couple guitars in the hallway and zip around. Yeah, I can. Listen,
and he's clearly got help. Have them do it. Juan, get in here, fucking hang some pictures.
Gardner,
put down the leaf blower. I need you to hang this platinum album.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're going to get a tour of my house, all I got to do is put up a couple framed pictures of cobras and fire, and you think it's mine. How do you know?
One last takeaway from the Bobby Blaster thing that I actually found kind of endearing, because I think he mentions in the video that he's 62 years old, which, that's a significant age if he's telling the truth.
Looks pretty good for that.
I would say he looks good for 62. So
yeah, absolutely.
I have no problem, saying that. But
would you?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. he's clearly he'd be my sugar daddy.
He'd give you the Blaster swing.
Fuck yeah. I wouldn't take too much Mad Dog to get me in there.
what song would you like playing in the background of the rap?
Oh, Way Cool Jr.
that does sound like porn music, sort of.
And that really has that blot swing.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, baby. All
right. Anyway.
Okay, now that we've grossed out the whole audience. No, he's so when he gives the tour of the house, he switches from self-facing camera to the outward camera, right? And then he can't get it back.
It's a mind blower, man.
And he's like sitting on the counter, and old Mitch is trying to like, well, Bobby, just walk around to the other side, and we'll see you there. And he's like, I can't figure it out, Mitch.
What I noticed during that segment, though, was that is not going to work in tech support anytime soon.
Yeah, he was
probably the
same fucking age, man. Let's be honest. Bobby looks better, but he's probably had a more charmed life, I think, than our friend in Canada. But what else we got to get into today? I think you have a list of the top 10 rock songs from iHeartRadio in front of you. Is that correct?
I do. I figured people enjoyed our top 10 each, but let's see what the people. Are demanding out there, right?
And iHeartRadio basically now is one of the three companies that owns every commercial radio station in every market. So
you're ready for the top 10?
Yeah, so this is the top 10 songs of 2020, correct? So these are the songs that iHeartRadio featured on rock the most in 2020. So I'm expecting a lot of current rock,
Yep. Oh, yeah. So number 10, Offspring, Gone Away.
Okay.
Number 9.
You have the right list?
Yeah, I do. Top 10 rock songs 2020. Do you think are you making a joke? Do you want me to start over?
I'm trying to make a joke. Yeah, it's like, what
okay,
the
Okay, no.
Do you want to do this? Do you want to just run down the list and then comment?
I think so. I think that'd be best.
Okay.
Number 10, Offspring with Gone Away. Number 9, Offspring with Self-Esteem. Number 8, Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit. Number 7, Lit, My Own Worst Enemy. Number six, Breaking Benjamin, Angels Fall. Bad Wolves.
I don't even
number
know.
Five.
I can't even name that song, but it's a Breaking Benjamin song, so it's every Breaking Benjamin. It might be Saving Abel for all I know. Anyway.
I know it. Bad Wolves with the cover of Zombie by the Cranberries.
Oh, boy. Got some Bad Wolves news for you, too.
Oh. Number four, Ozzy Osbourne, Under the Graveyard.
Well, at least it's new music.
Yeah. Number three, Godsmack, When Legends Rise. I do not know that.
Again,
Godsmack
at least a new song, but...
Okay. Number two, Bad Wolves again. Big hitters, Offspring of Bad Wolves. Remember When.
Which one was the other Bad Wolves song? Was it that Cranberries cover?
Yeah, okay. And that was a cover, number five, and this one is Remember When, which is an original, which I've never heard.
Yeah, I don't know that song.
Okay.
Number one,
most played song of 2020 is Shine Down with the song Monster. My monsters are real.
I can tell you from the work radio that when that station comes on, that song gets played pretty much all the goddamn time.
I'm a Shinedown fan, and I don't know that song.
I'm sick of it, but I don't know.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't like their last couple albums. But anyway, so...
It's all right.
I guess your impression of that list to begin with.
Fresh. That's the only thing I can think of is... Fuck, you know...
Half fresh.
Am I at a sporting event? You know, it's like... Where's Welcome to the Jungle? Where's Back in Black? I mean, come on, people. We're playing Under the Graveyard. Why not fucking Crazy Train? It's 2020, people. You know, this is why rock is dead, if anything. I'll get into that, you know, because there's not even an effort. I mean, come on, Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit. That should be a separate fucking station. You know what I mean? It's just these are oldies with some new shit. And to really...
And emphasis on shit for the new.
Yeah, fuck, man.
I mean, that's why people... I should say, too, that when I got to this page, they have the top 10, you know, alternative, hip-hop, pop songs. This one was number 8 on the category. So already rock itself, the genre on this page, is pushed way down in priority for what people are... You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like the top 10 things. So that is... But, I mean, how the fuck... The biggest thing for me on this... Is the fact that Offspring is on here twice for 25-year-old songs.
And not even two... If you were to ask me to guess which their two most played songs were, I don't know that I would have came up with these two.
Yeah, I definitely think Self-Esteem would have been one of them. But anyway, even with that, what the fuck is Lit doing here? That was a novelty song, one-hit wonder band then. How is that here? That is some... They have to have some... Payola like a son of a bitch, or some kind of payback money coming their way. I can't even think of that song that being played that much in give me an example, Kickstart Your Heart. It shows up in Lego movies. It shows up in Cobra Kai. It shows up in all kinds of stuff. I'm serious. Like there are certain songs. The Motley's a big band that you can see that they're getting all this money from being thrown into different commercials. I can't think of Lit, that song, fitting into any kind of like cultural.
Oh, I disagree. That would fucking fall in perfectly with a lot of different type of teen movies. And I guarantee it's in some soundtracks. There's no way in the late 90s, early 2000s when that kind of. Can't Hardly Wait kind of movement happened that didn't
Fair
land
enough.
In there somewhere.
Now maybe it is, and I just haven't noticed it. But there's a couple, that, you know, anyway. But, yeah.
You got to understand that, Lit, they don't really apply to children as well as Motley Crue music does. So you won't see it in a Lego movie.
Sure. I know. Anytime I hear that, I'm like, why is this here? But with that said, I mean.
The singer killed a guy and driving drunk in a car crash, yeah.
Anyway,
he probably raped somebody at some point too. I don't know.
Kickstarter, segue.
It's about a drug overdose.
It's time for a life lesson, son. It's a learning moment. But you look at this too, and it's like it just goes to me. This reeks of the only reason that Bad Wolves is on here is Payola. They are not a good band. They are like the epitome of what you would think of an octane.
That's a good song, though. I don't know that this
really.
I wouldn't say this is Payola. No, look, I don't need to hear it again, but just to you can't. you can't deny the draw of that tune, even if you hate it.
What? Remember When?
Oh, wait. Who are you talking about? I thought you were still on Lit. You're on to Bad Wolves.
No, I'm on to Bad... I'm sorry. I moved on to Bad Wolves.
Oh, man. I wasn't ready for that transition.
Sorry.
That was rough.
I'll redo it.
No, I'm kidding. Leave all that in. I'm just fucking around.
Okay.
Okay. Then I'm kind of with you. Bad Wolves does seem like something that... I don't know.
Generated in a lab. It's like an octane. But if you would like take all the elements of what's terrible, like a Five Finger Death Punch or whatever like that, and put it all together, it's a much worse version of that. Like I would take a Five Finger Death Punch in the face all day compared to like a Bad Wolves or a.
That's a unique comparison. The singer just quit Bad Wolves, by the way, or he was fired. One of the two things. I don't know. It sounds like they have a disagreement in politics. The singer's political views seem to be more in line with Five Finger Death Punch than the rest of the members of Bad Wolves. So I'm sure their career will have the same trajectory regardless. I didn't see them being like a timeless act, but who fucking knows nowadays, man?
Well, all I got to say is if you want to know what top 10 new music is, keep listening to your podcast, kids. That's how you're going to learn on.
It's probably going to be more offensive to people like us and the listeners of our show because we've never really been we're not really the core audience for kind of generic lists anyway. We've always people that listen to shows like ours or Decibel Geek or you know even like those Canadian geeks who solve crimes and chat metal. The audience there is a little more, I don't know, curated, let's put it that way, when it comes to our music taste.
Yeah, I guess so. But my God.
I like Under the Graveyard as a song, but top 10 of the year, that Godsmack song, I thought that last record of theirs, which I think is almost 3 years old now, if you follow them, the last couple records have been kind of where they're I don't know, stepping out a little bit, at least trying to grow as much as you can when you're that tall.
That's a short joke. Yes. Nice. I like it. So.
The only guy Sully is the only guy who I've ever photographed on stage, and we saw each other eye to eye.
That's excellent.
Got to visualize that at home, kids.
I got that.
I'm not on the stage with him.
Good stuff.
You want to fight?
I should say that before we wrap this up, the number 11 rock song of 2020 was WAP by
Cardi B. I think our cover of Rockin' in the Free World came in just a little too late. I'm hoping JC cracks the top 10 for 2021. Yeah, almost 1,000 views on YouTube.
Damn straight, Rockin' in the Free World.
I mentioned at the intro of the show today, Luce, that you were the seditious LC. Why don't we break that down a little bit? Because now we both learned the meaning of a new word this week. And I don't know where you want to jump in on that. If you want to start with the phone call we had. But
sure.
You take the lead here. Why are you seditious? And what did we learn this week?
Yeah, well, we learned a lot. But as of this recording, it is Sunday, the Sunday after.
January 10th.
Yeah, it's January 10th, so it's just a few days after, you know, the Capitol was occupied by some individuals. And up to that point, there's a lot of things that you know, I don't think my vocabulary is the largest and far reaching, but I just never really heard the word.
No, it's really bad, actually.
It's very limited. Yes.
I'm kidding.
There's absolutely, there's drink, and there's a few other words I know. Awesome, perfect, great. You know, there's certain adjectives that I have, but the word that I've never, maybe I've heard it, maybe I've read it at some point, but I've never heard it in conversation. I never, certainly haven't heard it multiple times in the same day. And I called you on it and I said, do you know the word sedition? Have you ever used that in conversation? And you said,
no, I mean, I've definitely heard the word before, but I hadn't thought about it until you brought it up. Like, yeah, that is getting passed around a little bit in some of the comments I'm seeing. So carry on.
Yep. Yeah, so that means the actual definition is conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or monarch. Let's look at the lighter side of sedition, right?
Yes.
And part of it, you've been pummeled with all this information. Who knows where we are when this is coming out?
Right.
But so, however you want to break it down, it seemed awful easy to get into the Capitol. Yes.
Yeah, it remarkably so, I would say.
Remarkably so. And it got me to thinking about that the security at the Capitol reminded me of when I went and saw Freedom Fest, which was a collection of 80s bands 2 years ago with the great Stephen Michael was there with his wife and everything. And he paid for a ticket. Me, I was not so apt to pay $60 to go see Extreme and Queensryche and the Great Whites. So I thought, how can I get in here? And the security was rather lax. I just walked over, jumped across the fence and got in. No problem, no issue. But I got to thinking, like, I got in here really easily. But what are some other ways I could have got into Freedom Fest that maybe are easily accessible?
Well, I remember after that episode, I think our friend Josh Toomey from the Talk Toomey podcast shared a video of a guy basically using a ladder to get into anything. He would just carry a ladder, wear like a work suit, and just kind of walk in like, hey, I'm here to fix something, you know?
And I think that's where I'm going here is like, because they brought, because of the fact that I saw people there with ladders. They were using ladders.
You know, I didn't see that many ladders. I saw more like security gates turned on their side. I did love the image of people who were, you know, 4 years ago were chanting "Build that wall," scaling a wall of their own
with a ladder,
or with a fence, or just climbing up it. I just thought the juxtaposition is like, see, walls don't work. If they did, you wouldn't have got into the fucking Capitol.
I figure we just trade off things that you could use just to walk right into a concert or other things like that. One being a ladder.
I would say like some sort of Flintstone Loyal Order of Water Buffalo headgear.
You know. That's a little specific.
Well, it worked.
It does work. Okay. There's that end of it. But I was thinking, like, if you just have a plunger, if you walk around with a plunger, you're getting in.
You're looking more practical. I'm like, what did I see that I could take away and learn from? Like, if I carry a Trump flag anywhere, apparently I can walk into a building.
True.
You know what? If I'm white, that helps.
that does. That, again, specific. But I'm going with also like a bag of tools. What about that? You know, the little one you take around the house where you have a little small project, the little baggie or whatever like that. You can use a bag of tools.
What about like just an overly packed tool belt? And you walk in on your cell phone talking really annoyed. God damn it. You're paying double time for me for this. Okay, I am missing my kid's recital right now. You dismissively hold your hand up at any security as you just plow right through. It's just
Again, also white helps in that situation too. So the other part would be a dolly. A dolly is great. Just one of those little dollies. You walk in with a dolly, you're either going, or I say this takes a lot of extra effort, but just carry a large air conditioner unit. Now it's gonna be heavy.
It is an old building. They probably do got a lot of window units in there.
Oh man, air conditioner unit.
How about like a DirecTV dish and like a bunch of cable?
they're like, who the fuck is still getting Dish Network?
How about just a handful? If you want to talk obsolete businesses, you can walk in with just a yellow shirt and like four DHL packages.
Ooh, I like that. Or going with the yellow thing, just a stack of phone books.
Nice.
What do you think?
Yeah.
That actually would get you stopped. You're like, what the fuck is that? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Nobody gets a phone book
stack
anymore.
Of phone books.
But then you use
them to beat the person.
I think also a trumpet Who the hell carries a trumpet? This guy's got to be going
don't you
somewhere.
Have to, how about you bring a mariachi band?
Perfect. All that.
Just any, show any up like, yeah, these are they're with me and just walk past.
What about just like a road case? Like one of those roadie things? You just like just whatever it is, like the
just sitting it like a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
Ooh, just have someone wheel you up outside the door and wait till someone takes you in.
a Trojan horse. Actually bring a Trojan horse. Just go old school, like there's no way somebody's actually in this thing. This is too obvious.
Yeah. Oh man.
But there's just some things that I was like, how absurd is this? These things that they actually brought with them that they could get through. Okay, so that's part of it. And we'll get a little in depth here in a second. But the other part is that besides having the same security of Freedom Fest,
they actually hired the same firm. I found out.
Oh, that's how it was.
Steve.
Right to them. Steve Security. Yeah.
Steve was there.
Yeah, but also you know it was besides that. You know, there's also the fact that I think that from this we can appreciate that it was a learning experience. It was a learning experience in the fact that up to this point, I did not know there is an extremely boring procedure where you certify all the votes from all the states.
Right.
And I didn't know that day was January 6th. Did you know that was the day? Did you know that they had to open them up like a fucking the Grammys and say the same shit for every state to certify it's valid, it looks
well.
Like, did you know that was
I mean, did I, not. I was not terribly surprised that there is a ceremonial process to this whole
of
thing.
Of course.
And, but you know, ever since leading up to the election, social media has, it's alarming how many people are pretty much electoral experts when it comes to how the voting process works. And look, it is not official until this and then this. It's like, oh yeah, you know, give me a fucking break. But anyway,
I think comfortably we can say that up to this point, you knew that there was an inauguration, and you knew that there was a election day, and nobody knew that this January 6th date until recently about this whole procedure. The 6 weeks later, they crack open the case.
You know what we found out? In addition to that, though,
what's that?
That to know all that stuff, you have to be batshit nuts. Or
yes. So,
in the actual group of people doing it. You have to be either an elected official or a fucking nut job scrolling QAnon right now instead of listening to our show.
And we'll go into that in a second, too. The other part is that I was not aware that there are these social networks called Parler and Gab and I think Rumbler and everything like that.
They're all coming together to become one super social media group, and they're just going to change the name to Echo Chamber.
Yes, I think that is a perfect name for it. But I didn't know that those things existed where there's no regulations and people can just talk about whatever they're talking about and planning on the day and all these kind of things. That was interesting to me. Also, I'm not sure if you knew this, but if you were in a position out there, kids, where you're about to be downsized, you're gonna be losing your job in 2 weeks. It is a commendable thing to finally stand up to the boss that you don't enjoy working with and tell him to go fuck himself. Just so you know, that is an act of courage, apparently, from the news organizations, from people that have finally stood up to this man in charge, this Trumpy guy, and said, enough. I think at this point, I don't like you. I'm just letting you know.
If only there was signs earlier that he needed to be stood up for, that maybe we should have drew some lines. And, you know, yeah, whatever. I mean, I think you can basically refer to anybody. Oh, the word toady comes to mind, and I'm not talking about the band. Oh, man. Yeah, there's plenty of that going on, isn't there? Where suddenly someone has the fucking cojones to stand up to a bully that's not going to be in their school anymore. It's like, as they're leaving school for the last day and they see the bully in the yard, they're like, fuck you! And then the bus stalls and the bully comes on.
It didn't work out very well for him. Yeah, but it's at this point, those people that are standing up and saying that, is the only reason they're doing it is it's politically better for them to now make a stand.
I can't believe it wasn't politically better to make a stand 4 years ago. But that's a different topic altogether.
Yes. So you've got that going on. So there's all these things I think that we can say that at least we'd learn some things about it. But
well, we've also learned that we don't learn. It's not, we have history lessons for a reason. And clearly people don't understand that we're not supposed to repeat history when it's bad.
Yeah. So do you have any other things to add to this, or do you want me
well,
to keep moving here?
Of course, you know, we're in reference to the whole ridiculousness of the event, you know, when Sebastian Bach is the fucking voice of reason on Twitter, we're in a fucked world. When Tommy Lee tweets something that makes more sense than anything our president has tweeted the last 4 years, you know, we're fucking kind of doomed. That is, those are not good signs. I'm not commending them. Yeah, for what it's worth, Sebastian went after Kid Rock and Ted Nugent specifically on Twitter. He's like, is this what? I think his tweet to Ted Nugent was perfectly succinct. He's like, is this what you want, Ted? And he tagged Ted Nugent in it. Now, I went to see any type of reply or comments on Ted's page. Now, to be fair, it doesn't look like Ted tweets a whole lot, a couple times a month, maybe. So the lack of a comment doesn't say one thing or the other. But, yeah, that loudmouth jackass has been just as insightful for well over going back to Obama's administration. And this is where we're at. And I wouldn't mind an explanation, Ted. Is this the country that you see? Is this the patriotic response that you're so proud to boast about? Kid Rock a little less, just because he's just kind of a dumbass. I do think he said some kind of shitty things, but for the most part, I think we know where his politics are, but he's not very political, if that makes sense.
Sure.
He wanted to go to the White House and get a picture with Trump because he's stupid, not because he I don't know. He's more of a troll to me.
Summarize how you kind of came about how the day unfolded for you, like learning about this, or like how did it hit you? Is it real time, or was it
sort of? I mean, I was at work, and I'm still connected to the internet, obviously through my phone. But I was at lunch, and I was actually commenting with a friend of mine, and they were talking about the protest that was gathering in D.C. And my comment to him was like, well, you know, let's hope things stay calm. You know what I mean? I just said something literally to that event. You know, it's just it's okay to get out there and voice your opinion and have these gatherings. And then after I closed that out, like I said, I was on lunch. I go to my Facebook feed. There's a news story about the basically everything no longer being peaceful. And then I start scrolling through news stories. And then within 2 minutes, I was back commenting like, well, so much for that. So I didn't get to see until I got home and I actually sat down in front of the TV and watched some of the news coverage, and it was that's when it really hit, and it was just like, what the fuck is? I mean, what about you? You were working the same day. We talked that night, and read the definition of sedition to each other to calm each other down. What was it like for you?
Yeah, mine was the fact that I was in. It just happened that day. I was in meeting after meeting, and I just was. Didn't have the news on, didn't have notifications on, all that kind of stuff. So when I came to it, it was like 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and I just got a text just saying, like, can you believe this is happening? And I'm like, what? And I was actually driving at the time, pulled over, started looking at these pictures, and then my first reaction was, these have to be photoshopped. This can't actually really be happening. Like all this.
The singer from Iced Earth hopes it's photoshopped.
Yeah, you see all this ridiculousness and everything like that. And then, but what really pulled me in is, and what I was going to say is that, you know, it's easy for most of us and myself up till that day, pretty much, to just say, like, you know what? These are just some crazy, uneducated, maddening, just like sick in the head people that are there. And they're all from Nebraska or Arkansas or whatever, you know, this general stereotype. They're all and everything like that. But I actually that Monday, I was not aware of this, that one of my in-laws sent a message that was a Facebook message that basically said, I am heading to Washington to possibly die for what I believe in.
Oh, man.
And I am bringing my son, and I am so proud. Semper Fi.
Jesus fuck.
This individual, by the way, that's in my family is in his 80s. He brought his son. He is a man that, let's just say, I don't think that he is inherently a good person, but he is like maybe a Wolf of Wall Street character, if you may. He has had success. He's done this. He's not a country bumpkin and everything like this, but he said I am off Facebook. I'm deleting my Facebook accounts, my Twitter accounts. This is all in a group text, by the way. And said, basically, I will only be available on Parler, Gab, and Gab. I'd never heard of those things before.
I still hadn't heard of Gab, so you
okay.
You got I signed up right after we talked.
And I guess and they're involved in Reddit forums too. But anyway, the point is that the reason I'm telling you this is somebody that I know that has been in my home many times and everything like that, that somehow over the last 4 years has been part of these echo chambers, these far right things, where he is at to the point when he was actually good to go. Like, he's watched all those things. Like, I am going, and if you research some of this instead of just watching whatever news source you have, all this stuff was planned through these social networks, easily seen up to this point with what you can read and also from what I'm looking at from this. This guy was this individual was actually in the crowd, sent text after saying, like, my son was right where the tear gas was. They saw the lady get shot. The individual that died and everything like that. And my point of telling you all this is not to say anything. I have no love lost for this person that went there. They went there. They did not get arrested. Since there's only like 50 arrests for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They went there. They left. He actually wasn't in the Capitol, but he was there on the steps close to it and was completely, just to make sure you understand this, however you want to say about protesters versus terrorists, he was not a protester. Okay, he was full on willing to give his life, and his son was, for freedom or whatever the message was. So he knew going into it that there were guns involved. He knew all these kind of things. That is how, and it is actually sickening, because the fact is that what I'm trying to tell you is, and I'll put a lighter side to this. If I am in the KISS FAQ board and I'm constantly being told that asylum is better than alive, I have to take a step back, because that is an echo chamber. I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to put a lighter spin on this. That
no, I get
there it. There is a point when you have to realize what I'm hearing is crazy, but there is not. There is Photoshopped images he would share with me of, like, different things that are obviously Photoshopped and fake, but he believed in them, and he got his son to believe in them.
I've seen people like that. Like, they'll even concede at a certain point in some examples that it's fake, but the point is still legit. How does that make any fucking sense? Okay.
So
this lie is still valid because the point is what I want. Not that, right. Jesus.
So however you want to think about this, and if you're listening to this and you're like, fuck these guys, then please don't listen anymore, because anybody involved in that was there that day, okay, and that believes in that, done. There's no way you cannot be. That's a perfect example of somebody in it. And that's what's scary about this, is that all that stuff has been fed to people, whoever you want to do, be it whatever organization you're in, brainwashed, completely brainwashed to the point where reality does not exist anymore. And this is a person that I have to tell you that before this administration, there may have been all those little triggers or whatever like that to take him down that path maybe. But this person was not like that before. So that can show you can be
maybe a shell of hope should be. Is there a way we can get that person back to who they were or help them find them? So I'm not optimistic.
They're on the border anyway. But
okay.
But I'm saying is that's.
I'm just trying to
just
be.
This is a real life example. Somewhat. The fact that somebody that I actually knew.
There are so many free thinkers out there that only regurgitate the same fucking six talking points, but they're the ones like, oh, you need to educate yourself. They blame the media for everything. So those are signs. Could I talk?
I'm done.
Okay. I want to talk about a couple of the characters that were there. There was one guy that I thought one of the people that died, by the way, supposedly tased himself in the nuts and gave himself a heart attack. I've seen it reported a few different times, and now there's memes. So I'm gonna go with it. I really hope that's true. I don't have a lot of sympathy for the protesters that died there. I'm not happy about it. Don't get me wrong. I'm definitely not celebrating it. But it is kind of funny if you tased yourself in the nuts and it gave yourself a heart attack. That shows you the type of brains of the people that are going here. You know, where should I keep my taser? Close to your nuts. Then there's that clown in the fucking water buffalo, the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo Flintstone hat or whatever. That was everywhere because he's just a character. Did you get a chance to hear him speak?
No, I have not heard him speak.
Nuts.
In order to beat this evil occultic force, you need a light occultic force. You need an occultic force that is of the side of God, of love, like almost like the on the side of the angels, okay, as opposed to the demons, all right? And so as a shaman, I am like a multidimensional or hyperdimensional being, okay? I am able to perceive multiple different frequencies of light beyond my five senses, and it allows me to see into these other higher dimensions that these entities, these pedophiles, these rapists, these murderers, these really high up people, that they almost like hide in the shadows in. Nobody can see that because the third eye ain't open. Okay? And that's where things like fluoride and stuff like.
So his outfit, the guy that's wearing all the horns and stuff like that, it looks like basically like a Chewbacca outfit, but it has the chest cut out, and it reminded me of like Paul in 76 and that sparkly outfit in Kiss. That's basically what it looks like.
It's a combination of a lot of things. That hat took me right to the Flintstones. His face paint made me think of Braveheart. By the way, never seen it. And then kind of what you're talking about, where he's got the tattooed chest. But then you hear this guy, and he's just this run-on of just mishmash nonsense.
How can you get anywhere into any established business? Like if you were trying to get into Subway, okay, and you saw that guy coming through that there's two things that are going on there, and I know I'm flipping back a little bit here.
Yeah.
But if that guy enters your establishment, your business, it's pretty easy to get him arrested. Lock the fucking doors. There are only so many doors in and out of a building. So yeah, I still am
appalled. The video of them all walking out just fucking.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, however you want to say the measured response is once you're in there, I guarantee that Capitol has a button where all the doors just lock, like almost like a reverse
thing, something,
panic room or whatever like that. There's no reason these idiots should have left, is my point.
Right. Well, they should have been met with a group of people zip tying their wrists and throwing them into a fucking packed vehicle of. They managed to arrest 14,000 people in July. They could have fucking got more than 50.
Is that what the number was?
Yeah. So they
wow. They got 50.
Yeah, well, I think it's rising now. As of this morning, it was around 90, but they're tracking everybody down.
Whatever.
Now, Ron Young, former guest of the show, has been a fun follow on Facebook if you enjoy this stuff. He shared this, and I've seen it verified. It was somebody who posted a picture of his son standing next to a statue inside the Capitol building, and he had put a Trump flag over the statue that he was next to. And the guy shared this picture on his own Twitter page, like, I'm so proud of my son, and something very similar to that. And then, like, his next tweet was, like, why is the FBI trying to contact me? And then Twitter account disabled. So I don't know. The timing wasn't, like, instantaneous, I don't think. But it was just, like, those three things. It's like, I'm so proud of my boy for committing a federal crime. Here's a picture of him doing it. Hey! Why is the FBI on the phone?
And the one thing that breaks down too, and we are bouncing here, is this is not our normal like bread and butter. But the fact is that however you want to slice and dice it, don't throw ideology or political views in this.
If
you support this thing at all, this should be a breaking point for any human, any like human of this earth. That's it.
100%.
This is done.
This is not a Republican Democrat thing. Yeah. By the way, two words we didn't use. I don't think one time we mentioned the Democrats or Republicans. If we did, it was not really in direct context to this act.
No. That's it. My parents, Republicans. My parents, you know, however you want to slice and dice all that stuff. I'm not disowning my parents, but they don't support this.
It's only a coincidence that only the dumbest people in my family are Republicans.
we want people that do not dress up as Flintstone characters to continue listening to the show.
Yabba dabba don't.
Well, I mean,
that's the stand we're taking.
Dress as a Flintstone character in appropriate setting.
Yabba dabba doo.
You know,
yeah, that's all we're saying.
I'm all with cosplay. I'm not an elitist.
Yabba, that's true. Yeah, dress up where you want. Just don't go to the Capitol.
Well, Ron Young made a joke about like if Giuliani would have organized the protest, it would have been at the they would have been at the wrong place. It would have been at the headquarters for Capital One.
Good point. Although, but
you can use your Capital One card to buy a dildo.
Ooh,
or a fleshlight.
Nice. Or a fleshlight. It's good.
Mm.
You go in both directions. Well, hopefully at this point things are calming down. Things are are in a better situation than they were 2 weeks ago. So timing wise, it'll be interesting to see where this episode lands.
Yeah,
to what's
exactly.
Currently happening, right?
Yeah, there'll be just a few days left if he hasn't been taken out. So we'll find out by then, I guess. But anyway.
Yep. But you want to get out of here?
Yeah, man. Let's go home.
All right. Rock's not dead.
It just tased itself in the balls.
Ow! Dad, hey! What you don't know, the legend ghost can hurt you. If you only want to live and die in a cage. There's panic and there's chaos rampant in the streets. Where useless thoughts of peace are met with rage. Demoralized. Quickest way to end the war is lose. Dictatorship and starting with tyrannicide. You must destroy the cancer at its root. Dystopia.
While you look for that, I'm going to refill this.
I knew you were going to say that. Go, go.
You're very offended when I get off camera for at least 3 minutes.
I can't believe how long it takes you. It's like a woman getting out of a car.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.